The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Expert advice to keep the whole family healthy at All Care, the largest Irish-owned pharmacy brand.
There you are on this Wednesday afternoon. How are you doing with your new normal? If you want to contact the programme, as always, 51551 ray@rte.ie. I'll be here in the very large Studio 10 on my own for the next hour and a half. Well, not really, because I have you as company. And if you want to contact us, there are the numbers, 51551ray@rte.ie, or you can WhatsApp us and leave a voice note if something comes to mind, 087-187-9101. And Dave has been on to us already. Dave Lang here. He says, Head of Development at Associated Craft Butchers of Ireland. Just to let you know, all local butcher shops are open and there is no shortage of supply. Social distancing is being observed and numbers in stores at all times are being limited. We are encouraging contactless payment where possible. If customers wish, they can call and pay in advance and their order will be placed in their car boot if required. Deliveries are available for older customers or those who are unable to leave their homes. Dave Lang. My mother was on to me. She said that Mass has been suspended for the moment in Kildare Parish Church. I don't know if that's the case all over the country, whether they went on a solo run or whether they were getting a directive from above. You might let me know. I was out and about over the weekend, obviously keeping the 2 metres between me and any stranger I met. And I was asking questions of people, as you do. I didn't have a notebook now, but what I can remember is I was in DID there in Slogan. I was asking them what's there been a run on. So freezers, all the freezers are sold out. Anything else? That Chromecast thing, they're sold out of those. The man said, small televisions. People are buying small televisions for their children's bedrooms. And anything to do with working from home, he said. There was been a run on that sort of technology as well. And then we were up in the local park and it did look like a scene from The Truman Show. So families in little pods. So people were out for a walk and people are encouraged to go out for a walk, get fresh air and get exercise. But you have to keep the 2 metres away from other people. So people are moving around in little groups of four, like little pods. And then they come close to another little pod of four or five people and just wave, then move around. And it's all working. It's all working to plan, I think, except for, and I did notice it, young people. Yeah, the Invincible group, isn't it? It's probably 18 to 24. And you remember when you were there as well, 1824, you were invincible. Nothing's going to affect me. Nothing can damage me. I'm going to live forever. I'm invincible. Not even the coronavirus can take me on. So they were gathering in bigger groups and obviously not from the same families. And can somebody let them know that it's not just about them, that they go into their little groups, they huddle in and they do whatever they're doing. And if somebody there not showing symptoms might have the coronavirus, they go back home. And then there's a granny or an elderly person living in the house and that's where it matters. That's where it matters. But it's not getting through. Hello. We're all in this together. And it is tough. It is tough. And I see it at home. We have a 13-year-old and we were sitting down. And I don't know if we should have. Anyway, it's too late now. We did it. We let her watch the address from our Taoiseach, Leo Varadkar. Very statesmanlike. I thought tonally it was perfect. It wasn't the bad news a lot of people were expecting, but tonally was perfect. And then it's as if he was addressing all the teenagers at home. They were on their phones, of course, and then, look up, he's talking to you, he's talking to you. And then he said, to all the young people watching, I know you were bored and probably a bit fed up. You want to see your friends and you might even be wishing you were back at school. It's like he was reading her mind. You're going to have to wait a while longer for that. I hope you remember that this time is tough for your parents as well. And Jenny and I sat up and going, yeah, this is the man in charge is telling them what to do. So I'm asking you to ask your parents at least once a day what you can do to help them. Keep up your schoolwork and call your grandparents. Keep up your schoolwork, call your grandparents and try not to fight with your brothers and sisters. So that's what he was saying. Thanks for that, Leo. Bono. He hasn't produced new music since 2017, but he's been inspired, if that's the word, by the coronavirus and particularly the plight of Italian people to write a song. He posted it up on his Instagram account with the caption, for the Italians who inspired it, for the Irish, for anyone who this St. Patrick's Day is in a tight spot and still singing, for the doctors, nurses, carers on the front line, it's you we're singing to. He did it at home in Dublin. It's called Let Your Love Be Known. and he performs it just himself and the piano. Do you want to hear it? I'll just give you some of the lyrics in case. You can't touch, but you can sing across rooftops. Sing to me down the phone. Sing and promise me you won't stop. Sing and you're never alone. So this is Bono.
A little postcards from Bubblin' Dublin. On St. Patrick's Day. Little tune made up here about an hour ago. I think it's called Let Your Love Be Known. That's not the thing. Yes, there was silence. Yes, there was no people here. Yes, I walked through the streets of Dublin and no one was near. Yes, I don't know you. No, I didn't think, I didn't care. You live so very far away from just across the square. And I can't reach, but I can ring. You can't touch. But you can sing across rooftops, sing down the phone, sing and promise me you won't stop, sing your love be known, oh let your love.
There you go, there's half it. Let Your Love Be Known. It's raw. I like it. And it's brave isn't the word, but it was, you know, it's a big ask for him to expose himself, just him, the piano, without all the twirly knobs and all the production that usually goes into recording of a song for U2 and Bono. So he posted that on Instagram. And while he was doing that, yesterday there were people all over the country staging their own virtual St. Patrick's Day parades. And you can go up, hashtag RT virtual parade. It'll put a smile on your face. It'll put a smile on your face. There's Lego ones. There's all sorts of ones. We did our soft toy one up in our house. Who featured in it? Well, Socky was in it and Zig was in it and Zag was in it. And that green pig from Angry Birds, the movie. You know that green pig? That's the only green soft toy we had. Like, soft toys don't usually come in green, so it's difficult to find. Anyway, well done to everybody who got involved in the virtual parade yesterday. And well done to everybody who got out and sang O Roshe de Vaha Walye at midday yesterday. I think it was Liam O'Manley from the Hot House Flowers who was asking people to do that, and people got out. The Coonies across the road from us, they were out singing and waving their flags. And I was listening to that song last night, and actually I'm going to play another song that I discovered as a result of looking for that one, but that's anon. Yesterday as well, on the cover of the Irish Times, there was one picture that reflected the mood of the nation. It was the photograph taken by Tom Honan. It showed 7-year-old Elena Tintori and her 5-year-old sister Lucy outside the window of their grandmother Sheila's house. And that's the thing, outside the window. And there is Sheila inside with her hands outstretched, her arms outstretched, wanting, hoping, but not being allowed to hug her two little grandchildren, and they're outside. And it says it all. And Sheila's son and Elena and Lucy's dad, Piero, is on the line. How are you doing, Piero?
Hi, how are you?
Thanks for taking our call.
No, very, very happy to.
Yeah. And that's it for that. Your story, Sheila and Elena and Lucy's story, is echoed all over the country, where we've been told to keep the children away from their grandparents.
Yeah, it's just so tough, isn't it? I mean, it's like we'd see my mum very, very pretty frequently. And I think it's just so tough that it's just for her benefit that, you know, she needs to keep away from people, unfortunately. And, you know, you sort of want to support them, but support your grandparents. But it's just so tough at the moment.
And how did Elena and Lucy, Elena 7 and Lucy age 5, how did they react?
Yeah, I think that, you know, everything's been a bit sort of like, you know, we'd see them see my mom at least like every week, if not sometimes a little bit more, and so on. But it's like, I think it's just strange because they keep sort of wanting to go up, you know, to try and even get closer, or try and say, oh, like open the window or whatever, to try and actually give a hug or a kiss. But it's just a little bit. But I think we've explained it to them, just, you know, why it's so important, that, you know, because ultimately that they can carry the virus and not know it, and that would make people a lot more sick. So I think we think they understand it, and hopefully make sense to them as much as it can at the moment, because it's such a weird situation. But I think just for my mum, it's like, particularly, especially I'm an only child as well, it's just that to make sure that we keep in touch and keep that sort of emotional connection.
Yes.
Even if we can't have the sort of the physical meetups and hugs and kisses and so on that everyone would have with their grandparents.
So the phone calls and the FaceTimes and all of that are now more important than ever.
Yeah, completely. And I think, to be fair to my mum, she's been great, like, with technology, and, like, you know, she's getting into some of the newer things as well. Like, we haven't quite done like video calls quite yet, but she says she's open to it, so we'll give that a shot. Okay. Fairly soon, I think.
And is Elena beside you there? Can I speak to Elena?
Yeah, she is. She's just right here beside me. I'll pass you over to
her
now.
Thanks, Piero. Thank you.
Hi.
Hi, Elena.
Hi.
What age are you again?
Seven,
right. And how do you feel about not being able to hug Granny Sheila?
Sad,
yeah. What sort of things are you doing at home that you're not at school? What sort of things are you playing with?
Lego, and we do a bit of origami.
Good.
Watch YouTube videos, how to draw stuff and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, and have you got hamsters?
Yeah, two.
Well, what are their names?
So the long one's called Caramel.
Right.
And the short little ball one is called Disco.
Disco and Caramel, the hamsters, right. And what age is Lucy?
Five.
And how do you get on together? Are you friendly sisters?
Not really.
No. Yeah. What are you doing to keep occupied? Are you going out at all?
Well, we went out this morning for a little bike ride.
Uh-huh.
And after, I'm going to bring my hockey stick and hockey ball to the park and then practice my shoots and stuff.
That's a good idea. And what about calling Granny Sheila? Will you FaceTime her or phone call her?
Well, we haven't done like a video call, but we have used like the phone and rang her.
Right, okay. Well, listen, mind yourself, won't you?
Okay.
And be nice to Lucy and the hamsters.
I'll try to. And guess what Caramel did?
What did he do?
He went up a gap and then he got stuck there for 2 hours, and he went under the fridge, got stuck under the there for 2 hours, and then he got stuck in the speaker.
He got stuck in the speaker?
Yes.
Well,
and he had to come out. It took ages. And guess what? We put a piece of carrot on at where the entrance of the speaker. Then when we went out to get dressed and stuff, and then we kept the doors closed, obviously. And then he snuck out, grabbed the carrot, and then went back in, because when we came back down and looked there, the carrot wasn't there, so of course he did that.
Yes, back into the speaker. Maybe you should play some really loud Ed Sheeran music through the speaker and he might come out then. Would that work? That might be a bit cruel.
He'd probably squeak.
Yeah, what sort of music does he like? What sort of music does Caramel like? You see,
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. But what people might tell us what sort of music. I suppose, more importantly, what sort of music do hamsters not like? And then you could play that through the speaker. Then he'd come running out. That'd be a way to do it, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, great talking to you, Elena. Mind yourself.
Okay.
Can I speak to your dad a bit more?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Bye.
That's Elena, age 7.
Hi,
Piero. Yeah, what's your story? I think I read a statistic yesterday. Over 50% of people are working from home. Are you working from home?
Yeah, we're lucky enough now. we like literally we do work with the universities all around the world, and literally the whole company is working from home. So we're just, like, to be honest, we're pretty really lucky that we can do that. But it's one of the things we've got a solution to help universities do their exams online as well, called Better Examinations, and that's now suddenly become really busy. But look, who knows? You know, there's talk as to when even exams can happen and stuff like that. But yeah, we're very, very lucky that we can all work from home. But
how would that work? How could you possibly exam people remotely?
Yeah, well, there's different parts. So one is the actual doing the exam. I mean, where we want to get to is like where you could even do like the leave-in cert from your laptop at home and just tell your mammy and daddy not to come in with the cups of tea in the middle of it. But there's two parts to it. One is you actually doing the exam doing the exams on the computer, but then there's actually the invigilation to make sure
Well, that's the difficult part. That's the difficult part. So how would you get around that?
Yeah, you can do it. There's a couple of ways, but there's a couple of things we're doing. One is like it will capture what you're doing on the screen. It will capture your webcam, and it will look at sort of things that you do. Like, for example, like, you know, are you changing your browser windows and stuff? But what it will end up doing is, really what it comes down to is the lecturer, whoever looks at your exam result and goes, oh, look, oh, well, Billy wasn't that smart. That's a weird result. And then they can flag it, and then they can go back to the recording. So it's interesting, but it's a bit of a distraction, luckily, for to keep us very, very busy at the moment.
Right,
everyone's working from home, which brings a whole new set of, like, you know, ways of working and trying not to go a little bit crazy when you're stuck in your little office home.
Everyone is facing the same challenges, aren't they? Well, listen, that's a lovely picture that I suppose encapsulates a lot of what's going on at the moment, and it's one you'll cherish, I'd imagine, for years to come.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, you know, I think it's for everybody, isn't it? Our grandparents and the older people in the community, this is where we need to make sure that if this is going to last a good while, is that there's that connection and everybody is, you know, keeps in touch with people who aren't able to leave their houses. It's just so important.
Yeah. We're in this together. Piero, thank you very much. Thank you.
Nice to talk to you.
Yeah, nice to talk to you too. And a pleasure to talk to little Elena as well. Now, I was looking up O Roshe Dva Hawalia by John Spillane last night on Spotify, and I came across this. This is on the same. Remember you recorded an album of songs we learnt at school? And this one passed me by at the time, but I'm going to play it for you now because I think it's great. Maybe it's just me. Maybe you don't like it at all. But it's John Spillane and Christy Moore and their version of Cúnla. 5151, RadRT.ie. Good afternoon. You! John Spillane and Christy Moore and Cúnla. And that's from John Spillane's Songs We Learned at School album. It's about 10 years old now. I think he did a follow-up as well. Some great songs on that. 51551, RadRT.ie. I've been staying in since Friday but feel useless in trying to show support for our great nurses, doctors, health staff, scientists, public servants, Gardaí, shop workers and shelf stackers, as well as all those who have lost or will lose their jobs. How do we show we stand with them? To show solidarity and support, I think we should all fly our national flag from our homes and our windows. Fight the virus, fly the flag, says that person. I lack the social media skills and tools to get this idea out, so maybe you or your listeners could do so. We're in this together. We're in this together. You! I don't think everybody has a flag. We have a small one at home, but that's a good idea. Fight the virus, fly the flag. Isn't there something to do in the States all the time? They fly the flag outside their houses to show support for their men and women who are fighting overseas. Thanks to you all for keeping the show on the road, says Carl. Just want to say how much... Oh, that's Marianne, yeah. There is a beautiful broadcast mass from Knock Shrine each day at 12 noon with Father Richard Gibbons and a soloist each day and Rosary and Novena at 7 o'clock, followed by mass for the safety of our people. It's really lovely, says Mary. You can get that online. Athletics Ireland would like to encourage primary school children to keep up their 50 minutes of day... A day of exercise, that's the sort of daily mile. Walk or run the daily mile is good for parents, also for mind and body. Stay safe. That's Frank Greeley. How are you doing, Frank? Mind yourself. That little girl, Elena, is adorable. I'd say she's cheered up the whole country. That's Jude. And have people tried the car chat idea with grandparents? Get some biscuits, tea in a flask or whatever you like. Drive to agreed spot or car park. Granny does the same. Park alongside each other a metre apart. Roll down the windows, pour the tea and chat at a perfect social distance. A sort of picnic in your cars with granny included, says Cathy. Don't know how I feel about that. And maybe Elena could play that Bono song in the speaker and the hamster wouldn't be long coming out, says Russell in Rosgrave. Be nice, Russell, be nice. Check out Roisin Meany, writer on Twitter, who has started a light-hearted limericks thread on the coronavirus to help us all get through this. I must see if I can spot some of those limericks and read them to you, or maybe not. I'd be very grateful if you would start the ball rolling today. My wishing my mothers a happy Mother's Day in advance of this coming Sunday. Our mother is Elizabeth Morris, and she is a resident in Marymount Residential Centre in Westmanstown in Lucan. She's a wonderful person and the staff are taking amazing care of her during this difficult time. So please pass on to Elizabeth, who is in her 91st year. Happy Mother's Day from Patrick, Toronto, Maria Nace, Thomas Rathangan, Jacqueline Maynooth, Caroline Carpenstown, Imelda Lucan, Sean, Dublin 24, Gregory, where are you, Gregory? The Cora, Richard in Batterstown, and Dennis Nace. How many is that there? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Is it 12? With all grandchildren, great-grandchildren too. Side note, you interviewed her when we, all the family, sang outside Arnott's Christmas some years. Oh, remember that, yes. So hello and happy Mother's Day to Elizabeth Morris there from all your children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. Here's a limerick from the thread. To amuse us during this epidemic, we've taken to diversions rhythmic. To pass away the time, we'll write a quick rhyme and call it a corona limerick. There you go. Probably didn't do that justice. 51551 ray at rte.ie. I can announce now that in the coming days, we will be launching on this particular programme, the All-Ireland Quiz. Dun, dun, dun. It is exactly what it says on the tin. We'll be offering representatives, or even inviting representatives from all over the country, from all 32 counties, to take part in our All-Ireland Quiz. We will have the first round where we'll have 16 competitions, two counties in each. And whoever wins that will go forward to the next date. And then whoever wins that, the next four, then to the semi-finals and the final. And then at the end of it all, we will crown somebody from some county in Ireland the All-Ireland Quiz champions. Well, it's a great idea. It's five questions each. Very straightforward, general knowledge. We won't be doing any great selection of people to represent each county. We will just be putting out a call each day. We might do the draw tomorrow, the day after. So we'll do the draw. Say, for example, it might be Kildare taking on Cork. Then on the day, we'll say we're looking for representatives from Kildare and Cork. Take part in our All-Ireland Quiz. Two people on, maybe a family, you know, help each other. And then they'll be asked five questions, hopefully ones that you can't Google the answers to. And then we'll go on like that until we get a champion at the end of it all. So that's the All-Ireland Quiz exclusively on the Ray D'Arcy Show from tomorrow. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it. Everybody likes a quiz. Who doesn't like a quiz?
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Or you can contact us on 51551 for your text. Now, if life was tough before the coronavirus hit us, well, it's tougher now. And with that in mind, I thought we'd ring Father Peter McVerry today. How are you doing, Peter?
Hello. Well, very well so far, thanks.
Good, good. But what are the implications coming down the tracks for people whose services or who use your services, Peter?
Well, the implications could be very serious. It hasn't really hit us yet. At the moment, it's our CEO, Pat Doyle, and his administration staff are planning for the worst. They're planning how can we self-isolate homeless people if we have four sleeping to a room? How can we redeploy staff if staff have to self-isolate? So at the moment we're planning, but clearly this is really going to hit us and and other homeless people, and others who are not homeless, like hundreds of thousands of people living in very overcrowded accommodations because they couldn't afford to get their own accommodation, families living in hotel bedrooms. It's going to be, at best, very challenging to try and address this problem in an effective way. Many homeless people get put out of the hostel in the morning. Not our hostels, but some hostels put people out in the morning, don't let them back till the evening. I think that's going to have to stop. Again, you have some homeless people, a small minority, who have a drug problem. They're going to be out trying to get their drugs. And you have some homeless people with mental health problems, serious mental health problems, who are not going to sit in a room on their own for 2 weeks in self-isolation. So very challenging is the word I'd use.
I suppose we presume that everybody's consuming the news the way we do, but I can't imagine that's the case.
Well, it's not the case. No, I think I'm being told of that families were out partying yesterday, and teenage kids were all running around and playing together. And certainly even with homeless people, it hasn't hit yet. We have a drop-in centre. Now, we've restricted entry to the drop-in centre. We're only letting a couple of people in at a time, but some homeless people don't see the point. What's the point of that? So it hasn't really impacted. It's only when people start actually getting sick or know somebody who's got sick that
it hits home.
This is really going to impact on them.
And everybody's saying we're in this together. We can only tackle this as a community united. I suppose we've been saying that about the homelessness crisis for a long time.
We haven't done anything about it. This is going to force us. This virus is shining a bright light on the injustices and inequalities in our society, our failure to address the housing and homeless problem, our failure to address the hospital crisis, our failure to address the drug crisis, and the mental health problems. They are the people who are going to be most impacted and find it most difficult to self-isolate. So it's we have got to pull together. This is going to fundamentally change attitudes and indeed our whole culture and values. We are operating as a nation, we are operating on the basis that the objective is to maximize growth and maximize wealth. This virus is totally undercutting that and showing us that, look, we are not in control. We're not even in control of the economy. And we have got to, it's going to force us to live more simply. It's going to push us into a recession. And it's going to challenge the very basis of our culture. We live in a culture where individualism has been elevated over the common good. It's all about me and getting ahead and maximizing my income. In a virus like this, nobody is safe unless the most vulnerable person is safe. Our wealth and our assets and our postal address do not protect us from this virus. We either all try and help one another, we ought to try and sort out the inequalities in our society, or we all suffer. That's the lesson from this virus, and it's also the lesson that climate change is about to bring. This is a test run for climate change. Unless we all pull together and unless we all recognise the problem and address the problem together, climate change is going to overwhelm us the same way that this virus will overwhelm us if we don't pull together.
Do you think human nature, the way it is, do you think we can reverse what you call that individualism and that consumerism? Do you think the coronavirus is strong enough to reverse that?
Well, I think we can reverse it. It's a culture, and it's a culture that's been imposed on us, and it's been imposed on us by the economic actors in our society who are very keen to emphasize individualism, that if you're successful, it's your own doing and you should be applauded. And, of course, they're the ones who have been successful. And if you're not successful, well, it's your own fault. I think it's been imposed on us. I would hope that this virus would ask us to ask very fundamental questions about who we are and what we are about as a nation and as individuals. My fear is that once this virus passes, it'll be back to business as usual. That's what happened with the recession.
Yeah.
The recession after the Celtic Tiger really caused us to question, you know, where are we going and how are we getting there? But after a couple of years of recession, it was back to business as usual. It's back to, let's maximise our wealth. Let's create as much wealth as possible.
Short memories.
Days are gone now.
Did you watch Leo Varadkar last night?
Sorry?
Did you watch Leo Varadkar's speech last night?
No, I didn't.
You didn't?
No,
okay.
No.
Right, okay. Well, it's sort of hopeful in a way that hopefully, you know, when we come out the other side of this, and we will come out the other side of it, that we'll be better people as a result.
I would hope so. This is a conversion experience for all of us.
Yeah.
And unless we are converted by the reality of this, unless we come to realise, look, we are not in control of our own destiny. We have got to try and all work together and decide what is... what is our objective? What is our purpose in being here? Unless we, it could be a conversion experience, but my fear is
it won't.
It may be just back to business this time next year.
And what about you, Peter? What's your situation?
Well, I'm very well, thanks. So far, my work is primarily at the moment, not in administration or that. My work is primarily face to face with homeless people, and obviously that is become something that has to be looked at.
Yes.
So I'm doing a lot of contact by telephone, and I'm meeting people on a one to one basis. Our drop-in centre, where we might have 50 or 60 people all together in a confined space, that is obviously closed.
Yeah.
Or it remains open, but we only allow one or two people in at a time. So, my work experience is going to change dramatically.
So those people who used your drop-in facility, what will they do now?
They'll be out in the streets, I'm afraid, because all the drop-in services are going to have to close. And there's going to be nowhere else for them to go. And staying in a hostel, which is already overcrowded, is not a great is not a great incentive to stay at home. So they're going to be out and about. That's unfortunately.
And I suppose the knock-on effect. There's the dog in the background. The knock-on effect, of course, is that you know, the homelessness crisis, which is far, far, far from solved. It's going to be left, it's going to be parked there, isn't it, because of this?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
All the focus now is on this virus. There's going to be no focus for the next 6 months on housing or homelessness or any of the other major issues in our society, and that's inevitable. This is a fatal virus. This is this is absolutely a priority for us as for the politicians and for all of us as a society. But it does mean everything is going to be kicked down the road for another few months at least.
I think we can get through it. I was just looking today, and the number of new cases in China, where it all started, which has a population of over 1.4 billion, the number of new cases today was 13.
I saw that myself,
yes.
But they went on a very, very drastic
response.
I think we may be coming to that here ourselves. I don't know, but it's very, very drastic. But it's
what they did in China
to have done the trick.
It did, yeah. They got results. Father Peter McFerry, mind yourself. Thanks for taking our call today. Thank you.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
I tell you what, I'm going to be a master baker at the end of all this. So more brown bread over the weekend and some brownies. And tonight I'm going to make some corny bread, soda bread with raisins and sultanas in it. That's lashes of butter on it. I'm looking forward to that. Let's see what you're saying. 51551. Roisin, you know, I read that already. When we bring my niece out for a drive and walk, supposedly to have a picnic, it rained. We eat in the car and call it a carnic. They love it. Shout out to all the students of St. Killian's Community School in Bray. Keep doing all the work. We're setting and checking every day, says Sinead. And that's a brilliant picnic idea with your granny in the car. Very important that people can see each other, says Maura. And could you wish Patricia Rowntree a very happy birthday on Friday, 20th of March, from the Thursday morning Marley Park Walkers. Please play... Oh yeah, suggestions of songs there. We'll see what we can do there. And what about if everyone hung out any flag they have? County, country, local team, whatever. Any flag could be a symbol of solidarity in our community. That's a great idea. A flag in the window. A flag in the window. Fly the flag, fight the virus. Fly the flag, fight the virus. Wash your hands. Sorry. In France, they're getting people to stand at their doors, balconies, steps at 8 o'clock to clap for their first responders. It was a bit weak last night, but it will get better, says Catherine. And we put out our flag yesterday for St. Patrick's Day, but we intend to keep it out now until this is all over. From the Campbell family in Guidor in County Donegal. Hello, Campbells. I think you should play Nancy Griffiths from a distance, as we cannot interact with so many people now except from a distance. The song lyrics are apt too, says Mary. I might dig that out for tomorrow. And I had the idea yesterday when going out in my car to put on my wing mirror tricolours. I would like to buy the tricolour flag that we used to put on our cars when Ireland was playing important games. Remember those days? I would buy the tricolour flags that fit on car windows. If anyone knows where I might get them, would they let you know, as I would like to fly them in support of all those who are fighting and impacted by COVID-19, says Cormac. And I live in the Netherlands, and last night at 8 p.m, oh yeah, that stood out, clapped, cheered, banged their pots. That's Alec, who was there as well as Catherine. And Mary says, greetings from West Cork. Can you please give a shout out and thank you to all the food producers, big and small, and their staff who are working relentlessly to keep our shops stocked. It's not easy out here. Thank you, food producers all over the place. Thank you very, very much. Now, there's been a lot of talk in various programmes about what the banks can do for businesses during this pandemic. And we heard that over 100,000 people have been made redundant in the last week or so. One company has decided not to wait for the banks. The Georgia Street Arcade is Ireland's first and longest continuously trading shopping centre. It was opened in 1892. And this morning, they told their tenants that all rents are suspended until further notice. Gwen Layden runs the Georgia Street Arcade, and she's on the line now. How are you doing, Gwen?
Hi, Ray. How are you? Can you hear me?
I can. You're coming in loudly and clearly. Yes.
Good.
What sort of a phone are you on?
So I'm on a mobile phone. Is that okay for you?
Yes, it sounds very good. Sounds very good.
Are you sure?
Yes. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
It's an old one, actually. So now, there you are.
It sounds great. Is it a family business, the Georgia Street Arcade?
So the Georgia Street Arcade is a family business.
Yeah.
And about 28 years ago, in fact, at another time of another recession, my father, Joe Layden, bought the arcade from Dublin City Properties.
Right.
And you might know it's a beautiful old building,
but it needed
quite a bit of care. And we walked through it on the morning, I remember it, and we just thought, you know, there was so many spaces there and there were so many places that businesses could open and could thrive. So we're kind of 28 years into it, and I have every wall space, every corner and crevice rent.
Yes.
And I, you know, the people is really what business is about.
Will you give people who are listening who wouldn't be familiar with the Georgia Street Arcade the type of business you have in there?
Okay, well, it's a Victorian arcade.
Yes.
Okay, as I say, this is the first time it's closed.
Red brick.
Since
red brick.
Red brick, and we've kept it in the architectural integrity of that time, 1892. So if you want to feel like you were walking through Dublin in 1892, it's a good place to walk through. But what we have in there is 42 businesses, Ray, and every single one. We don't use agents, lawyers, any of that. We put out the words that we have a unit to let, and I meet the people, and I always know the person who will suit the arcade. And so we have 42 small businesses. Every week I go in and walk through and visit each one of them, and we try and make sure that everybody has their own little patch and that nobody sells the same things.
Okay.
And over the years, luckily, in 2008, Dad is benevolent. He's my boss. And he said, you know, reduce all the rents and we keep everybody afloat. And it worked, and it always works. And it's the only way to enjoy business. So when it came to now...
Your vinyl there. I'm just trying to give people an idea of the businesses you have there.
Oh, the businesses.
Yes,
I beg
yes,
your pardon,
yes.
Ray. Okay, we have cheese and wine.
Yeah.
We have old coins. We have collectibles. We have posters. We have music. We have antique books, new books, cards.
Yes.
Retro fashion, chips. What else?
And the list goes on and on.
Tell me now if I left somebody out. Jewelry.
42. Now, so you decided with what's going on now, because have you had to close the street down, George Street Arcade down?
Yes. Well, I don't. I mean, we're fully let, but we took the decision that it would be better to close, because I'll tell you what happens, Ray. Retailers go in and they want to try and make the last few pounds.
Yes.
And they're doing that to cover rent, etc. And they're risking their own health. And at the end of the day, you know, we have 42 families that feed off those 42 businesses. And those people, not, like, they're just such good people. I'd hate to lose one of those to the virus. Yeah. I'd also hate them to feel stressed while they were at home being careful. So we just took the decision, there was only one decision, suspend all the rent. And we will have to carry it. And everyone will come out a little poorer. But you know what? There's only so much you can eat, but everybody has to eat.
Good stuff. Yes.
So that's
yeah.
It.
Well, the banks are going to have to make an announcement. They met with
please
the,
God, you know,
the
yeah,
ministers today.
It would help people because, you know, my traders and us as a family, we're just a family business. We're not a, you know, we're not a big international. We will all be carrying it forever, but the banks only have to just give a bit of forbearance.
Yes.
You know, their mortgage repayments are only being kicked down the line. Now, there's no way that any of us are going to be going back looking for rents back.
No.
And we will have to kick off with lower rents rate. I mean, the rents when we do start back up are going to have to reflect that people are getting started again. And that's business. That's how business works. And it's really, it's the only way business works.
Okay.
And you go with the ups and downs of trade. And at the end of the day, if everybody is sustained and is there with us, that's the best feeling ever. I mean, that's what it's about.
Yeah. Yeah, it's about community as well, isn't it? And it sounds
it
to me
really.
Like there's a great sense of community in the George Street Arcade. Gwen Layden, thanks for taking
it's
our call
fantastic.
Today.
Yeah.
Mind yourself.
Okay.
Mind yourself,
cheerio.
Gwen. Thank you.
Thanks
bye.
So much.
Bye. That's Gwen Layden there. And just hanging out my tricolour now. I think it's a good idea. Let's show solidarity. That's up in Buncrana in County Donegal. Fly the flag, fight the virus. Big shout out, please, for all the fishing community, all the daddies away on boats and all the mammies keeping it all together at home. It's not easy. And a suggestion, social isolation will also be hard on people who live alone. So can people ring them instead of texting? It makes a big difference to them, says Fintan. And our Niamh went around her cul-de-sac last week and she had a printed out thing, which we read out last week. I can't remember the details, but it had her... You know, I'm Niamh from number, whatever number her house is. And she said, if you need something collected from supermarket, pharmacy or whatever, here is my number. And she put that through the letterboxes of the people on her cul-de-sac who she knew might need those services. And that's a great idea and a great thing to do. 51551 ray@rte.ie.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
It's odd seeing the reaction of people. I go out for a run most days and I run around UCD and some people feel, although I'm 2 or 3 metres away from them, that in some way I am a threat and they cover up their faces as I run past. And other people want to have the chat and you have to sort of stand away from them. So it's different how people are reacting to it. But one man shouted at me the other day, I was running, I think his name is Jimmy or Tommy. Sorry, Jimmy or Tommy. And he says, you know, Bill Gates predicted this 5 years ago. I said, really? Yeah, he predicted this. So I said, I better go home and check that. Not, you know, fact checked it. So I put in Bill Gates and prediction of pandemic. And yeah, in 2018, which is only 2 years ago, he was speaking to the Massachusetts Medical Society and the New England Journal of Medicine. And he said he believed the world needs to prepare for pandemics in the same serious way it prepares for war. And he went on to say, this preparation includes staging simulations, war games or preparedness exercises so that we can better understand how diseases will spread and how to deal with responses such as quarantine and communications to minimise panic. So there you go. That was Bill Gates speaking in April 2018. And this is Niamh from upstairs speaking the 18th of March 2020. Will you play some Enya? 51551 ray@rte.ie. Dave in Tralee says, flying the flag since Monday. Fly the flag, fight the virus. It's a sort of a positive mental attitude thing. It's obviously not going to literally fight the virus. We need medication to do that. But, you know, just showing solidarity with the people who are working in our community, the people who are at the front line, medical staff, people in retail, people who are driving. What a lovely lady, Gwen Layden. Now, that's what you call community spirit. And amidst all the fear and wonder as to when things will settle down, it's a joy to listen to stories like George's Arcade. Fabulous, and no doubt as a nation, we can do something for our homeless too. Very real viewpoint from Peter McVerry. We have to remember those that may get left behind, says Julie. And what an amazing woman, Georgia Street Arcade. She's a wonderful example to everyone in business, in the banks and our government. And they've been on to us, irishwholesaleflags.com. We are offering Irish flags at wholesale prices to show solidarity with the Irish public. Irishwholesaleflags.com. And Cyril says, listening to the programme and enjoying it, just let you know that the Irish flag is flying here in Tarman Black Sod since yesterday. That's Cyril. And Daniel Ewing here, stuck mandatory isolation now on day 4 in Tenerife. I have 3 excursion shops here and I'm genuinely nervous what's going to happen next. Please send my love to all my family back in Ireland, particularly my mother, who has been told by her doctor to self-isolate for 6 weeks. Take care of yourself and all yours, says Daniel. And you take care of yourself, Daniel. Brought back memories there, talking about Georgia Street Arcade. I went to school in Clarendon Street and we walked through that arcade on way to and from school every day. I think there were fish counters there, says Ruth Ronan. And Aina has been on. I would love to hear anything by Emmylou Harris. Big fan of hers. And we put up the tricolour in Carrickmacross, County Monaghan, in support of all those working on frontline and to express solidarity with all who are suffering through this. It'll stay up till this passes, which it will. Well, that's it will, Audrey. It will pass. I've been staying in since Friday, but feel useless. That's the person who suggested that in the first place. That you fly the flag and fight the virus. That's that person there, because they were feeling a bit frustrated that they couldn't show their support for the great people who are working on the front line: nurses, doctors, health staff, scientists, public servants, Gardaí, shop workers and shelf stackers. And all of those people who've lost their job in the last week as well. It's mad to hear that the unemployment rate has doubled in the last week. Scary stuff indeed. Now, are we going to a commercial break? Oh, Gavin. Gavin James, how are you?
Hey, I'm good.
Good to talk to you.
Good to chat to you. How's things?
I was just thinking there over the weekend, we spoke to Lisa Hannigan and Colin McNamara last week. Both of them had gigs planned for Monday night, which didn't happen.
Definitely.
One in Vicar Street and one in the National Concert Hall. And that's what's happening to gigs. They're just gone, cancelled.
That's the thing. I mean, what can you do? We can reschedule it and put it for the summer or after the summer, but nobody knows when it's going to finish up for you. That's the thing.
Yeah.
I would feel more for the people who were there, from like all the crew and everything.
Yes.
They're all working paycheck to paycheck. Like,
yes.
So I would recommend, if any artists are in the position to give, like, if there were the gigs in the summer that would be cancelled, or there's gigs, like whole tours are being cancelled and people are let out of, like, so much. Same as everybody's been let out of loads of cash because of this thing. But I'd say to look after, if you're touring with a company, look after the crew, look after the lads that are there from 7 o'clock in the morning till 1 o'clock at night doing the stage and all that. Because they're the people losing their loads from the gigs more so than
That's an important thing to say. That's a very important thing to say.
I think it's really, just loads. A lot of my mates have worked with me for 10 years, so they're all kind of. Yeah, it now with this thing. But
what's happening? We have to keep positive. People are becoming more inventive, and social media is definitely coming into its own now in a very positive way.
Definitely.
So tomorrow night, what are you doing?
I'm doing a live stream for me gaff, and at 8 o'clock, I'm going to call it Gaffin James gig or something.
Gavin's gaff gig. There you go. You have Gavin's it.
Yeah, perfect. Listen, perfect.
Because we're in unusual times, I won't charge you for that. Okay.
Oh, no bother.
Right. So, how are you gonna broadcast it, or how are you getting it out to people?
So I'm gonna broadcast it just from me living room.
Yeah.
And
on what?
On YouTube. It's gonna be on YouTube. It's gonna be on Twitter, and it's gonna be on Facebook.
Right.
I believe all the links will be up tomorrow.
Brilliant. And you, just you and a guitar. You and a guitar.
Me and a guitar. I'll be on the piano as well a little bit, I'd say.
Brilliant.
So it'd be grand. It'd be good crack.
There's a serious side to this.
Oh, yeah. Other than me drinking quarantinis, I'll be definitely be having a few quarantines.
You're doing it for a loan.
For a loan. Ireland, so we're doing they've been looking after people for years, the elderly people, or the old folks. And So it's all for them, really. It's all the money to be raised for them. And it's raised nearly, just being on Facebook, it's nearly on 3,000 euros already. so far for them, which is great. So.
We were down there last week and they're providing a really good service because a lot of elderly people are worried about coronavirus and what they can and can't do and how to get their medication, etc. And they've set up a special coronavirus line for the elderly. Yeah. It's 0818-222-024. 0818-222-024. And we were there and we eavesdropped on some of the conversations and there was just lovely, calming presence there from everybody who was taking the calls because there's a lot of worry out there and a lot of anxiety and they were just calming things down, which is great.
Yeah, they're great.
So you're gonna go on YouTube and then you'll be encouraging people to donate.
Yeah, so after every song, I'll be like, donate, and I'm sitting there. So yeah, I think all I can do really is just do that. I can sing songs and then hopefully this brings more people to that.
This could be the future of the entertainment industry.
That's the thing. I mean, like, it could be. Like, you could do another one next week.
Yeah.
Again, like, I think a lot of people are doing it now. Just in general, a lot of my mates in Temple Bar are doing the things and doing it for charity and stuff. So it's just an hour in the gaff. They just sit down.
Yeah, and do it.
Review
a
song.
Yeah. Now, I know the technology isn't the best here now, but would you sing us just a little bit of a song? Maybe, have you got the guitar or are you going to go a cappella or what would you do?
Oh, yeah, I can do it. I'm at the piano now. So
Okay. Yeah, great. Yeah. Thank you.
I'm very hoarse, though. I'll try my best.
A little horse pony, yeah.
Exactly. Well, can you hear the piano now?
I can, yeah, it sounds great. Yeah.
Class, sorry.
Garrett, the sound man, is very excited about this. He's really excited.
This is the first, anyway. Here we go. Yeah. Right, I'll do a bit of Always. You're the only one I know.
Oh, yeah, brilliant. Right. Love it.
Here we go. It needs a tune, so. What am I supposed to do without you? Is it too late to pick the pieces up? Too soon to let them go? Do you feel damaged just like I do? Your face, it makes my body ache. It won't leave me alone. And this feels like drowning trouble. Sleeping, restless, dreaming. You're in my head, always, always. I just got scared, always. I'd rather choke on my bad decisions than just carry them to
I love that because it's just that sort of, to me, encapsulates what's going on. We're all in it together, but we're apart.
And
you're there at home and you're singing to me, and then it's going out to everybody. It's stuck in their houses all over the country, and there they had a little sort of live little session with Gavin James there on
the
piano.
We'll be apart, but we'll all be together. That's the whole point. Yeah.
So Gavin's gaff gig is on tomorrow night, 8 o'clock. If you put it into YouTube, you'll find it there. And you can make a donation to Alone, who are doing amazing work supporting older people to age at home. And they have that coronavirus line, 0818-222-024. So are you watching things? Do you consume a lot of news or do you stay away from it?
I'm trying to stay. At the start, I was on Twitter constantly refreshing everything, seeing what was happening. But I'm kind of trying to stay away from it a bit now.
Yeah.
And like cook things instead and just stay in the
Like cooking's a good thing.
I never knew how to do it. I've been deliveroo-ing forever. So I've been getting curry since I was a baba. So now I'm starting to cook everything.
Hey!
So I'm trying to do some pizza. I'm trying to make some pizza from scratch.
Right.
It's going to be absolutely shocking, but I'll let you know how it is.
No, I tell you what, just start easy. Start easy. So you can get those lovely pre-made bases. So start.
Oh
with,
yeah, you get that. Oh, yeah, I must start that.
Yeah, start with that. Then there's that lovely mutti, M-U-T-T-I. That's the tomato sauce. Comes in tins. Then you get your grated cheese, and then have fun with the top of it. And make sure you're
obviously.
By next week, I'll be a genius.
You'll be a genius. Make sure the oven's very hot. Make sure the oven's very, very hot. As hot as you can put it.
100%.
There you go. Right. Looking good forward stuff, to the gig tomorrow night, Gavin. Thanks. Thanks for that.
Have a good night. Cheers.
Bye. 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 Bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
The All-Ireland Quiz, coming to the Ray Darcy Show soon. We should have got somebody else to do that. Yeah, so people are dreaming up new ways of entertaining themselves at home. And some of them are sharing it with community, like Gavin James. Some of them are keeping to themselves. Other people are using Netflix to bond. Alison Spittle is on the line. How are you doing, Alison?
Hey, Ray. Great, not a butter. How are you getting on?
Good. You're in London.
I am for my sins. I tell you, I wish I was back home in Ireland.
Why so?
Oh, you seem to be dealing with a far better, it's everything seems kind of normal outside, but I'm not going outside.
No,
I'm sticking to Irish rules. Do you know?
Well, I trust. It's mad that we're so close and yet so different in our approach to the coronavirus. But I think. Just from watching the news over the last couple of days, that probably things are changing there and you're going to catch up on us. But anyway,
hopefully.
You are encouraging people to watch mindless movies on Netflix.
Absolutely. It's a COVID-free zone. No C word allowed.
Tell us how it works. Tell us how it works.
So I set up a hashtag called CoVideo Party. What you do is every day at 9 o'clock, we press play on Netflix on a film that the audience has chosen. I put up a poll at the end of the night and people vote for their favourite film out of a choice of four. It gets picked in the morning and then we prepare for the night ahead. So people have been dressing up. People have been taking pictures of their dogs, their mammies, their snacks. It's all a big community spirit around the film that we watch at that time.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Now, yeah, last night now Leo had an announcement to make, so we paused it for a half an hour. And we started at 9:30, but nothing's going to stop us now. 9 o'clock it is from now on.
Okay, so already you've watched Clueless, Legally Blonde, Matilda, Jumanji, Last Night Extraordinary with Maeve.
Yes.
Maeve Higgins. And tonight, Dirty Dancing.
Dirty Dancing, the people have chosen. It was a very big split. There was a lot of rows over it, but democracy has won out, and it's Dirty Dancing tonight. So the dress-up theme is Dirty or Dancing. You choose between the two, whatever you can get in your house, right, and you can wear.
And then are you on a WhatsApp group then, and you communicate as the film's going on, or what happens?
Yeah, so how we facilitate is a lot of people are using their own friendship WhatsApp groups to chat about the film at that time.
Right.
A lot of people are using Twitter. So what we do is when you click on the hashtag, when you go to hashtag CoVideo Party and you click on the latest column, you'll see people tweeting in real time with that hashtag. So, you know, if you're 2 minutes into the film and there's a dance and then people are making comments about the dancing, you can check onto it. It's basically watching a film that you've already seen before with people talking over it,
yes,
which
yeah.
is my favourite activity.
and it's because cinemas are still open, but probably won't be open for much longer. But is that sense of community, isn't it?
Definitely. And we do an Instagram live after on my Instagram at Alison Spittle. And we have a chat about the film after. Like yesterday, I got Maeve in to chat to me from New York. I got the director's daddy to chat to me from London.
Right.
And then I was chatting to watchers of the show. We ended up talking about ghost stories and Debs and not much about the film, but it was great crack.
Yeah. Dirty Dancing. It's a feel good movie. Have you seen it before?
I'm going to make a confession to you, Ray. I've never seen
You've
it before.
You've never seen it before?
I've never seen it before, but I heard there's watermelons in it. I've heard. So I got a beach ball. I'm setting up my costume for today.
There's Patrick Swayze and there's definitely Dirty Dancing. It's, do you know...
There is.
I only saw it a few years ago for the first time. Well, I'm going to say a few years ago, about 10 years ago. And I was pleasantly surprised, I have to say.
I'm excited about it. Now, the problem for me about Patrick Swayze, he looks very like my uncle. So when people say, oh, he's a lovely looking, I don't see that at all.
You just see your
uncle. I just see my Uncle Paul.
Now, there is a wee problem with Netflix because the movies are sort of limited, are they? Are they limited?
They are. They're limited, but it's kind of good in a way. We're limited by choice, but I've made some limitations as well. There's no horror films.
Right.
There's nothing to do with pestilence or disease or anything like that.
Okay.
We're just watching, it seems to be the people are picking 90s nostalgia films at the moment. There's loads to choose from. We got Hook. I'd say Hook is going to come up soon. People are really pushing for Hook.
Okay, and is
Groundhog Day
is a good one. Is Ferris Bueller's Day Off on Netflix?
No, it's unfortunate. No. Do you know what the worst thing is, Ray? Right? Netflix, they have Terminator, and they got Terminator Genisys. Do you think they got Terminator 2? Not a hope of it. Cruel.
Beverly
Ray.
Hills Cop. Beverly Hills Cop. No. Yeah.
No,
come
there
on.
There is Coming to America. I know. Coming to America now is the big Eddie Murphy film.
Yes,
that I
yeah. Well, that's good. That's good enough. That's
no Kindergarten Cop. It's a disgrace.
What about Mall Cop? I think Mall Cop is up there. I'm not too sure.
I think it is. I put that up to the people and see if they'll pick
okay.
it out.
A brilliant idea. Brilliant idea. So hashtag co-video party. Tonight at 9 o'clock, Alison Spittle and her friends will be watching Dirty Dancing. And you can join
Absolutely.
In by watching it on Netflix. Alison, mind yourself and we'll see you soon when you get home.
I will. Best of luck, Mary.
Right, see you. Bye. Now, if you're not joining Alison, you might want to tune in to RT1 at 10:05. Episode 3 of Big Life Fix. And tonight you will see little Alana, who suffers with EB, also known as butterfly syndrome. And they sort things out for her in a small way, but it makes a big difference to her parents. And her mum, Rachel, is on the line. How are you doing, Rachel?
I am good, and you?
Yeah, good. Good to talk to you. And it's a lovely programme tonight, and you come across brilliantly in it.
No, I haven't seen it yet.
No, I've seen it. So I'm just telling you, you won't be disappointed in any way, shape, or form. Will you tell people at home about EB, the condition that Alana has?
Yeah, so it's epidermolysis bullosa, and Alana has one of the worst types and recessive. So what it means for Alana is that she is missing the collagen 7 in her skin that binds the layers of skin together. So any friction on her skin, any bump, anyone bumping into her, any fall, will mean that her skin will blister or just tear off.
Yeah.
It's kind of 85% bandaged the whole time, and has to be all the time to protect her skin and to protect, she would have open wounds, so we have to protect that from infection and that kind of thing. So
little Alana is bandaged. And how often do you have to change the bandages?
We change 4 days a week, so that would take 3 hours to do. And in between those, then if she has any knocks or falls in between, then you obviously have to change that straight away as well. But she wears gloves to slow down the missing of her hands, so we change them quite often. We change 5 or 6 times a day, depending on what she's up to.
To slow down the which of her hands?
Her hands can web because of constant blisters on her hands. It can cause scarring, and it will cause the fingers to contract. Then they can web and her hands can ultimately miss, so she could lose the use of her hands altogether. So we use these gloves to slow that process down.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think we can stop it, but at least we can slow it down. And Greg and I then both do physio every single night while she's asleep, just to keep her movement of her fingers good, you know. So
okay. And sleep was the big problem for everybody. That's where Big Life Fix came in. So tell us what happened.
Because of this condition, Alana is extremely itchy because she has wounds that are constantly breaking down, healing, breaking down. So, you know, yourself, if you have a wound that's healing, that tightness and that itch, you know. So she scratches in her sleep a lot, you know. She would do more damage to herself asleep than she does awake.
Yeah.
So we need to be able to hear her. She's sleeping in our bedroom since she was born. Because we need to be able to hear her scratching like that, and we need to get to her within seconds to stop, because that damage that she could do in a couple of seconds is months and months of healing for her then, you know.
Yeah.
So Big Life Fix came along and set up, we have a bedroom set up for her that Greg made, the pad bed and everything, so it's safe for her. But we couldn't let her be in a separate room because we couldn't hear her. So they set up this, I'm calling it the mother of all baby monitors.
It's high tech. It's high tech.
Oh, high tech.
Yes.
I believe there's gold in the gold particles in the microphones that they use as well. So that's over the bed. And we have the video then that we can hear and see in our own room. And we can even wear headphones if one of us wants to sleep and the other one doesn't. So there'll be plenty of fights over that.
Okay. And the whole thing is that it allows you, I suppose, the peace of mind to let exactly, Alana sleep in her own bed, which she loves. Yeah. It's a beautiful little bed. And yet you know that if she does start scratching, you'll be there just like that. Yeah. Yeah.
We did kind of a trial run where one of us slept in her own bedroom with her and the other then had the headphones or the speaker on in our own bedroom. And it's actually as crisp as her being beside you. Like, it's amazing. So we are completely confident that we will hear her and that we can see her, and you know, that she can then have that independence and have her own little bedroom, you know, like a normal 4-year-old. So,
and is the coronavirus affecting you as a family at all?
Well, yeah, you know, hygiene is a big aspect of our lives anyway for infection and stuff. So, but now we're just not leaving the house at all. So, we have to stay. It'll affect Alana in more ways. You know, I know they're saying this, kids are, you know, they'll get a milder type, but even if she gets a cold and or a sore throat, or, you know, it's sort of, she gets it so much worse than everybody else.
Yeah.
And her skin starts to break down and infections start creeping in just because her body is fighting one thing it can't do at all at the same time. So, so we're terrified. And I mean, if Greg or I get it, who looks after Alana? And like, bandaging still has to go on. You know, she still has to have her back.
You have to mind yourself.
And,
So, Jimmy was on from Deborah Ireland, and they're the organisation that, that provides support for families like yourselves. And he was just saying that that because of the coronavirus, that they're going to need people to help more than normal, because a number of the events had to be called off. So he just told me to mention that if you text Butterfly to 50300, text Butterfly to 50300, and if they tune in tonight, they'll see what it's like living with EB, or butterfly syndrome as it's called. And she's such a happy, outgoing personality.
Yeah,
you wouldn't think that she has this, because it is, it's a horrible, horrible condition, but her personality shines through.
She's amazing. I don't know, honestly, don't know how she does it and where she gets the energy, because she doesn't sleep. I mean, but she's, you know, she's stubborn, but in a good way. You know, she won't let this stop her either. And, you know, we try to live as normally as we possibly can, so that she doesn't feel that she's different, or, you know, we just kind of keep her. Yeah. She's going to school, she's doing all the things that she should, and we just do it a little differently.
Well, it's a lovely, heartwarming, life-affirming story. And then there's the farmer who lost his legs in an accident in New Zealand, and he wants to cycle. So there are two stories tonight. Big Life Fix, which is on at the later time of 10:05 on RT1. Rachel, mind yourself and enjoy watching it tonight. Thanks for taking the call.
Great, thank you.
See you now, Rachel. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Now, let's see what you're saying before we leave you today. I've been lighting a candle in my porch every night, a solidarity that there is light at the end of this tunnel. Keep up the good work. That's Deirdre at Farnham. And good luck to the Leyden Group for taking the humane decision to suspend their tenants' rents during this difficult time. Well done. And I think we all need to shout loudly our thanks to staff in grocery shops, both the large multiples and our small local shops. These staff are doing great work under huge pressure. And all have their own health and that of their families to think of. So well done to them all. And hear, so say all of us. And that's from Magella in Wexford. That's it from us. Mary Wilson is on the way. We are back tomorrow at 3:00. Mind yourselves and enjoy the rest of your Wednesday evening.